Welcome to episode 26 of the Collaborative Business Podcast. Today's episode features Alex Janadinic as my guest.
Collaborative businesses are on the rise, and this is the Collaborative Business Podcast, a podcast that will help you find answers and provides useful insights to the best ways of working together in partnerships, alliances, and many other kind of business-to-business collaboration. Here's your host, Peter Simoons.
Alex, welcome to the Collaborative Business Podcast.
Thank you, Peter. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, well, so am I. We had a nice chat on forehand about your business and about the possibilities of collaborating. So I'm looking forward to a different spin in this episode than some of the previous episodes. But before we dive into our conversation, Alex, let's provide our listeners with a perspective about you. And can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I'm a software engineer by training, but you know, as soon as I started making my own trinkets and websites and whatever, I became a marketer by default, I guess, right? Because as soon as my first website was up there, I had to get people to use it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to, you know, early in my career, I used to work as a software engineer for a company, but on my own time, I would make stuff and then it wouldn't be successful because I wouldn't know how to market it. So over time, it became better and better and better. And then most recently, in around 2012, I created some Android apps. And then I followed that with some iOS and Kindle apps. And they sort of took off because I guess that at that time, I sort of ripened in terms of actually being good at marketing. Now... You know, if you search for the word business on Android in any country, and these are business apps, so if you search for the word business in any country, the apps come up as number one. And I have something on Android like four of the top 10. So the apps are doing well, and then the apps help people plan and start their business. And after a few hundred thousand people use the apps, I realized, you know, the information there, I had such a huge sample set of entrepreneurs that I wrote a couple of books based on this, mainly how to start and how to market a business. So there was two books. And then I created a number of online courses, similar kind of things, you know, how to start a business, how to promote a business, SEO, social media, you know, very advanced strategies. And so that's sort of where the business is now. I have the apps, I have books, I have online courses, and then also, you know, out of all of this grew my own business coaching practice. So that's kind of where I am now. I mean, that's sort of how my career sort of got here.
Okay, thank you. It sounds like you were pretty busy there.
Yes.
Yes. So, and we are in the Collaborative Business Podcast. What is for you business collaboration? How do you look at that?
Well, ideally, I would have had a business partner, but the way it worked out is I started by myself, which wasn't an easy thing to do. But you know, I would only wanted to invite people to collaborate with me, who are very high quality people, mm-hmm. and that's hard to find, right? You know, like so. I ended up sort of just being on my own for a while. And then I had a really interesting user of my apps who, you know, she contacted me. She like was asking me very interesting questions and she showed like a lot of interest. So you know, I started to become friendly with her, and she was in South Africa and I'm based in New York. So she was very far. I never met her, but, over time, she kept expressing more and more interest and asking more and more interesting questions and having real curiosity. And I actually said, you know, why don't we like collaborate? Actually, why don't I invite you into the project, right? So I ended up collaborating with her. And, you know, for me, it was important that she felt, I guess, leadership from me, but at the same time, her own creativity and curiosity had room to blossom. So I gave her, you know, she was interested in social media, so I gave her that, and I said, hey, you know, okay, now you're the boss of social media for this company. Do what you want, right? So we had collaboration, like we're working together, but I gave her kind of full ownership of a piece of the company, and she was responsible for it. So even though we're collaborating, each of us had different tasks that didn't overlap. And I mean, that actually went really well. I mean, we only had to stop working together because she had like extra school and she was a university student, like getting her master's. And then, you know, she had a job. So because of those reasons, she couldn't continue further. But I mean, yeah, for me, collaboration is about finding amazing people who, you know, who will do like great work, and then sort of partnering with them, being supportive of them, but not sort of like, you know, meddling in their whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm. You're sharing an interesting experience there, because basically what you describe is that you are giving away, for although temporarily, but you're giving away a part of the control of how your company is perceived in the market, by giving away the social media and say, well, do what you want.
Yeah.
Wasn't that scary?
No. Well, I mean, it's like, I don't think people really care that much about how my company is perceived in social media. I mean, I'm not some gigantic brand, you know, I'm not like Pepsi or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think people would really care if I made some mistakes on social media. I mean, completely honestly, I don't think people would care that much. You know, like, you know, what kind of mistake can she possibly make? Like, you know, insult people. I mean, there isn't really a mistake that she could make either, right? It's either the real issue is, you know, can she get engagement or not? You know, I trusted her, like she wouldn't embarrass the company. But even if she did, I mean, nobody would. The honest truth is nobody would care that much.
Okay. I don't think.
You know, because it's a small company. I mean, it's a small, you know, two people operation.
Yeah.
You know, TechCrunch wouldn't publish, like big news sites wouldn't publish it. It wouldn't actually go, and like most of my users would actually never, let's say she actually did something bad or whatever. Actually, most users wouldn't even find out about it.
No, and that's probably also because when I understand the app business correct, then your main channels will be the app stores of Android. Yes. And iOS, Apple.
Yeah. Social media for me, you know, is not about, hey, follow me, right? Social media for me is like, hey, share my app on your social, you know, platform, share. So it's actually, my accounts are very irrelevant. It's more of the focus is the content and the apps, am I helping people enough that they're going to be so wowed by it that they're actually going to be motivated to share? Because if people share, then it's like, you know, let's say they have 1,000 Facebook friends and they share it on their wall, then 1,000 people see it. But if I say to the same person, hey, follow me, so what do I get out of that? Not a whole lot, right? I mean, they may be engaged, they may be unengaged, but it's like one person.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if they share, it's hundreds of people. So social media, in a way, it's for me, I think it's one of the smart things about doing social media is encouraging sharing rather than, you know, following. I don't know. I mean, both are great, but I think sharing is better than getting followed.
I understand your point of view, absolutely. So when we look at this collaboration with the lady in South Africa, is there something specific that you said, well, that has taught me about collaborating that I need to do again next time, or certainly do not need to do again next time?
Always the hard thing is, you know, you want to be encouraging, right? You always want to be like, whatever happens, you know, if you try some techniques and it's successful and not successful, whatever happens, I think you want to be encouraging. But at the same time, you want to be encouraging, but also in a way that I guess what's hard is, you know, most things don't work, right? Most things you try, they won't work. And I think the hard thing is, how do you point out in a constructive way that something we're doing isn't working and we need to do it better, especially when you yourself don't know how to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important, because that person needs to get challenged like that in a constructive way, because then they'll start, you know, thinking and being creative about how to solve that challenge. But presenting that challenge in a timely fashion, so that, you know, you're not stuck doing unsuccessful things. If you present it quick enough in a constructive enough way, I think that's what I would change, is I would try to become better at that.
Okay, understand. And do you have any plans for new collaborations?
I'm always looking for some amazing person who would want to come on to the project. So I'm always on the lookout for people like that.
Uh-huh.
But I think my bar of quality is very high. And in some way, I mean, you know, I would have to find a person who is insane like me, right? Because, like, I you know, in this kind of recent times, I mean, I created a really enormous body of work, right? So 2 books, a bunch of, like, over 10 online courses, like, 16 different apps, you know? So it's kind of like, you know, across different platforms. Then I have to maintain all of them and improve the quality of all of them, right? Just making them is, like, just the beginning. So the level of productivity and effectiveness that, and seniority that the person would have to have would be so great that it's almost impossible to find someone like that. So I'm in a little bit of a dilemma.
Okay, interesting dilemma. But I'm not sure if I hear completely what you're looking for. Are you looking for somebody who has, what you said, has a high quality standard? But are you looking for somebody who has the same skills as you have? Or do you want to divide the pie in the sense that somebody is, for instance, taking care of maintenance, where you are taking care of new development?
Well, generally, I mean, because the requirements change almost daily, the person would have to have, I mean, definitely flexibility. I mean, I could make them just have, you know, focus on apps, right? So they would have to be a good developer. But, I mean, they would have to be equally motivated as me. And, you know, to find a senior developer who is more motivated about somebody else's project, I mean, I'd almost have to hire them as an employee, because otherwise they probably have their own app ideas.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's hard enough to hire them if you pay them like $100,000. Even companies who do that have a hard time hiring good developers. So, you know, here I am saying, hey, collaborate me on my idea, with me on my idea, right? I mean, it's a super low chance of success. So, I mean, yes, I would love that, but I mean, I'm being realistic about it too.
Yeah. So, and in your working with the lady in South Africa, did you notice any challenges in difference in culture? Because both of you speak English, but South Africa has a different culture than you probably have in New York.
Well, she was very professional, and actually, I didn't sense any cultural difference, to be honest. Because she was, you know, I think the whole culture of being professional, it's very global.
Yeah.
I mean, if people who have an education and they've worked in, you know, professional industry, they understand certain ways to talk and to treat each other and things like that. And generally, I try to stay out of topics, you know, no politics, no religion, no, you know, whatever, no, you know, so I try to generally avoid those.
Focus on business.
Huh?
Focus on business.
Kind of, right? Because it's like, I don't know, like lately I've come across people who are saying, yes, it's great to talk about those sorts of things. But I'm like, I don't know, you know, it's like, I don't want to talk about hot button issues and then make things awkward. So I'm like, you know, I'm having, you know, whoever I'm working with, I'm talking about, you know, looking at them, talking about the merit of their work, and that's how I judge them. And I mean, and that's kind of where I like to keep it. Actually, you know, this woman, she became a friend, you know, but it's, it, 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 but still, it's like a strange distinction, right? Because at the same time, like we have a good thing, good working relationship going. I don't want to ruin that.
No, I understand. Now, let's have a look at for a moment at your apps. You mentioned that it are apps to plan and start a business. Are there also elements in there where you look at collaboration in businesses and in the plans?
Yeah, definitely. So when people start a business, there are two very natural paths to collaborate. Of course, the first one is with their business partners. And the second one is with their business mentors. And so when I, we can take the business plan app, and you know that's available on iOS and Android and Kindle. When people write a business plan, they often get stuck. They're often not sure of certain things, right? So one thing people can do on these apps is I added, actually one of the very first features was people could literally ask me a question. So in the beginning, I was, you know, I didn't have any business coaches or business mentors on these apps, right? So I had to be the business mentor. And, you know, at first it was a little bit difficult and I wasn't able to help every business, but over time I have helped over 1,000 businesses. And my actual business coaching practice evolved out of the apps. So now I'm pretty good at helping people. I mean, people get really a lot of help. And one of the first features was people could literally just, you know, communicate with me. I could literally go and fill out their business plan with them right on the app. So they have their own device. Maybe they're in a different country. I have my own device. I'm sitting in my house or whatever, or shopping in the store or being in the park. And, you know, I get like an alert, hey, this person needs help. And we start collaborating on their business plan. We start literally filling it out section by section. And people love that feature.
And that's purely app-driven. You don't have any voice or video connection at that moment with your user?
Yeah, it was just a text-based chat.
Okay, interesting.
No, it was actually like almost like half email, because you know like I wasn't sure when they were going to respond, and you know you want to give, you know, I'm asleep some of the time, right? So there's a delay in there. I mean, like I can answer right away, but usually there is a delay.
Yeah.
So there was that feature, and then one thing is that a lot of people wanted privacy. They didn't really want my help, right? So, but what they did want is if they had business partners, they wanted to share that business plan with their partner. So just like I might have answered questions or filled out the business plan with people, right on the app, I later added features for people to invite their business partners. They would get like an invite code, and the business partner would get the app, enter the invite code, and it would take them right to their business to the original business plan that their partner was writing, and then they together can fill out the business plan. And that feature is available on Android and iOS and not yet the Kindle.
Okay, so that makes it quite interesting that these people, if two people or more, is there a limit to the amount of business partners they can invite?
No, there's no limit, but I mean sometimes if it's like too many, then it's like counterproductive.
Yeah, I agree.
And one time I had a big team who invited a ton of people, and then they decided to kick one person out. But actually, I didn't create any features like that so that you can remove a person. Because, I mean, if you're inviting somebody into your business plan, they already saw it. Like, what are you going to do, you know? I don't have that feature built in to take somebody out. I only have a feature built in to invite someone. So these guys, you know, they asked me, like, hey, can you, you know, we kicked out our business partner. Can you help us? And so I had to go into the database and, like manually remove, you know, things. That was kind of fun. But most of the time it's people are pretty reasonable. They have like two, at most three people, and then you know, they kind of fill it out on their own pace.
Yeah. Interesting. What is your business model behind the apps, Alex?
Well, some, most of the apps are, well, it's different on different platforms. On Android, it's a freemium business model where most of the apps are free and they upsell paid apps. There's also some affiliate products in there that I sell. And then I sell, you know, sometimes I sell my coaching services, sometimes I sell my books. So I sell, to make it more clear, it's a freemium where I sell paid apps, paid other products, and affiliate products. So I don't use ads or anything like that. On iOS, my main apps are paid, and I sell them through my YouTube channel. And because you know, it's just how it worked, right? So I kind of, you know, made an app in paid apps in app stores. They're very difficult to market inside the app stores. So I had to create a YouTube channel just to sell the paid apps, because that's my sort of freemium model, right? Mm-hmm. I would get the mass of free people through YouTube and then send them to the apps. So that's kind of, you know, I have a couple of free apps on iOS, but they're not very good. They're just very, very, very basic, you know. So, and then same thing with the Kindle. It's all paid apps, and I sell them from other channels or, you know, things like that.
Okay. So interesting. So the apps, at least on Android, are your gateway to sell additional services, and whereas on iOS, the YouTube channel is the gateway to sell the apps and the services.
Yeah, yeah. In a way, YouTube has become like my biggest platform, because originally I started YouTube just to sell my paid apps, but the way it played out was that YouTube just, you know, you can sell anything from YouTube. So then when I wrote the books, I said, hey, okay, I'll promote the books. Then when I made the courses, I'm like, hey, okay, I can sell the pro courses. So YouTube is, I think, it's the easiest to promote anything else. You know, it's the most flexible.
Interesting. So tell me about your books. I've standard question about what book you would like to recommend. And we haven't discussed it in our pre-chat, but I can imagine that you would like to recommend one of your own books, or maybe both. What are your books about?
So they're, I think for entrepreneurs, they are great because they complement each other. The first book is, you know, when my apps reached something like a cumulative 300,000 users and I've coached over 1,000 people, I had such a great sample set of all the questions that I was ever asked, you know, because literally the questions were like in my database and, you know, just from my knowledge. And I put the questions together in an order. And they became chapters and subchapters and subsections. And literally, in that business book, so the first book is basically, it takes you from even before you have business ideas to strategies for, like, even, you know, to starting an operational business. And all the issues that I was ever asked were addressed in that book. So it has a very, very high, like, sample set of people that ask questions. So any new entrepreneur, you know, I can't guarantee they will address all their questions, but certainly so many topics are covered that new entrepreneurs ask all the time and struggle with all the time. Then the other book is, you know, once your business starts, you have to start getting clients, right? So the other book is a marketing book, and it talks about how I, you know, it's a kind of a little bit half case study and half a tip after tip after tip after tip of how to get a million customers for your business. And, you know, I talk about very advanced social media strategies. I talk about advanced SEO strategies. And throughout the book, I give examples of how I did XYZ, right? If I talk about some technique, I say, hey, here's how I did it, here's how that works, you know, or I just generally say, hey, this is what's going to work, or don't do this or do that. So they really complement each other. The books really complement each other well, because I try to address the issues having to do with starting a business, and then I really, really focus on empowering the person to understand the marketing to really reach a tremendous volume of people with their business.
Okay. And where can people find about your books?
The Amazon URLs are so long that it's probably better. it's probably better just, you know, my main website, my blog, glowingstart.com, and people can find my books, my coaching, my courses. And by the way, for people who don't like to read, and that's most young people, I'm just kidding. but actually, there, you know, readership is declining. Those courses that I mentioned, a lot of them are, you know, the same information as the books have, but they're video based. And so it's, you know, people like reading, you know, they can to take the books, but if they want to consume that information through video, then the courses are video courses. And of course, speaking of video, I think on my YouTube channel now I have something like 400 business tutorials covering, like, I don't know, I think, like, I'm running out of topics. Like, I think it's covering, like, everything there is to cover. So, of course, my YouTube channel, you know, is free. And that's where I, you know, help people a lot. And by the way, I answer every single comment on my YouTube channel. So if anybody wants to, you know, if anybody watches my channel and they have questions about anything or need extra help or have extra questions, they feel welcome to comment on any video, because I get those alerts that people commented and I respond to all of them. So if anybody wants to get in touch with me and get engaged, that will be one of the cheaper and simplest ways.
So that's also a collaboration with your viewers then?
Yeah. And I love getting comments. Even if they're like, not, sometimes they're not that nice. And then, you know, then I say, you know, then it's like, it's funny too, you know?
Yeah.
People make fun of my accent sometimes and I'm like, oh, whatever, you know?
So, what would be your recommendation for people who are entering into a collaboration? Because I can imagine that there were many questions also about that in your database.
Yes, there's a lot of questions about that, especially around finding the right business partners. You know, there's a lot of discussion around how you should find business partners, right? Because they're good ones are incredibly difficult to find, and you know, there are various lines of thought of, like, should you have business partners, should you not? My suggestion would be to only work with people with whom you have worked successfully before, or, you know, start and or do a little trial project, or do a little like month or two sort of like entry, you know, small collaboration, but not to enter a gigantic collaboration right away with somebody with whom you've never worked before. And that can be with a business partner, that can be with an agency you might hire, that can be with any consultant you might hire. You know, start slow, because the more involved the person gets, and if they don't work out, you know, you don't want it to be damaging to your project, right? Because you want to make sure that in the worst case, things are still okay, right? So only work with really proven people that you work with before and that you have a good working relationship with, that you know for a fact.
Yeah. Okay, that's great advice. So work with people you know, work with before, or try them out on a small scale before you jump into the deep waters together.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, Paul Graham, who is the founder of Y Combinator, which is the biggest startup incubator in the world, I mean, he talks about this all the time, that the worst startups that he has in his incubator are the ones which have, like, usually the biggest problems come from founders which haven't had a long and successful history of working together. And, you know, in the startup world, you know, there's been, for a long time, there's been this thing people agreed on, which is like, you should definitely have business partners. Why don't you have business partners? You know, like, you know, the people should have business partners. But more and more, I'm actually seeing, and this is recent, this is like in recent months and recent year or two, that I'm seeing a lot of people speak out and talk about how there's such a low rate of success when people collaborate with people that they haven't worked with successfully before.
Yeah, I can imagine. collaboration is important, but collaboration is not easy, and so you need to be able to trust each other, and that works better when you have worked together before and you know what you can expect.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you already mentioned a little bit about your website, but where can people find more about you and your business?
So it's, you know, so I have two websites. One is the website that I mentioned, glowingstart.com, and my other website is problemio.com. It's problemio.com, which is a, you know, I named it originally after, you know, problem, as in like, what problem is your business solving? But I don't think, you know, I think it's, I misbranded it because I don't think anybody actually gets that. But so it's problemio, but that's beside the point. So it's problemio.com and, you know, glowingstart.com. There's a lot of stuff about me. I actually, on problemio.com, in the About Us section, that person with from South Africa, her picture is still there in the About Us, and they're, you know, so people can learn more about her as well.
Okay. Well, I will link to your websites from the show notes, as I usually do, and we'll find your books on Amazon and link to them in the show notes too. For those people that still read,
yes. who are they? They should write into the show. You know, like.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I notice is there are basically in my guests two groups of people. One group immediately says, "This is the book that you should read," and the other group is the group of people who say, "Well, we don't read that much anymore." So it's a trend that you see, but. So far, as long as it's 50-50, I'll keep asking the question and get recommendations for good books. All right, Alex. Is there anything you would like to share that we haven't discussed yet?
Well, I think you alluded to it, right? Where collaboration is very important, but it's very hard. And it's almost surgical in terms of how to approach it. Because, you know, if you just start collaborating, I mean, like anything else, you have to work at it and you have to be smart about it. And I think it's just like anything else in business. Like, you have to work so hard at it, at, you know, at everything. If you want to do good marketing, you have to work hard at it. You have to, you know, start a business, obviously, you have to work hard at it. And I think the same thing with collaboration. I mean, this, in theory, it sounds great, but I think people should really approach it sort of carefully and be careful whom they invite into their project, what kind of roles they give people, right? Not to rush into things. And not to, you know, I see a lot of people collaborating and by hiring agencies out of desperation. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, people might hire, like, you know, since I do a lot of work in the mobile app space, I see a lot of people hiring mobile app development agencies and pay something like $10,000 or $20,000 just to have, you know, the initial version made, right? And that decision happens sometimes out of desperation because they can't get the app built anywhere else. But usually that app ends up being a flop because, like, you know, it's just a version one, and by that time they run out of money, right? So they can't keep iterating on the app, and, you know, they have to quit usually, right? So it's kind of like, it usually ends up a waste. So I would recommend not to rush into any kind of collaboration, especially if you feel like pressured, or if you feel like it's your only option, that, you know, whoever you're collaborating with might help you. I would recommend not to put yourself into that situation of desperation where you see that person as the only option. Always have like an abundance mentality and only look for really good people.
I think that's an excellent recommendation. And I would like to thank you for being a guest here on the Collaborative Business Podcast, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
So far for this episode. As usual, the show notes can be found at simons.com/episode26. Bye for now. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to the Collaborative Business Podcast. For more insights about business collaboration, partnerships, and alliances, hop over to www.cmoons.com.